Sandra, let's talk about mystery, because of course the whole trick of it all is that we don't know any of it because we don't know all of it. So if we don't know the bottom of it, how can we know the end of it? And that's called the mystery. You just can't know it. Mystery is quite logical. Everything that is produced will have a navel. It will have a starting point. It will have a connection point to everything else. Everything is part of the universe. So everything that is a part is a part. And all you have to do is look for the connection to it all. But if you look for the connection of it all, then in the universe, where's the navel of the universe? Where does it come from? Where does it start? So at some point you get lost in the simple assumption that things need to start from somewhere. And then all the churches and the religions, they go in this kind of contortionism of, okay, we need to keep on knitting, but we don't know how to start it, because we don't know how we can end it. Because we do not see the end to it, so we do not see the start of it. They end up with the same problem as you find in mathematics and in physics. In mathematics you call it an anomaly, that things suddenly go haywire and they don't play out normally anymore. In mathematics you call it singularity. Every game rule that you knew suddenly no longer seems to apply. In society it's called a taboo. Better not do that, better not go there, better not look into that, who knows what you would discover, there be dragons. It all means that there is a limit to our understanding, there certainly is a limit to our knowledge. Just think of how many papers are being published every second on the internet today, and if you read it, how many lifetimes you would actually require to do so. Regardless of if you would find it useful, yes or no. So if it is not about having knowledge, it's the capacity to acquire knowledge. It's not the capacity to acquire knowledge, but the intelligence to know what you need to know, what not to know. Actually, it's not the intelligence, but it's the consciousness of if it is about knowing or if it is about being. And that's where they come to the mystery school. So I'd like to give a bit of perspective of what mystery schools aim to do, what mystery schools are, a little bit about what types of mystery schools there are, and a bit more attention to the question, do you actually need a mystery school, or are you yourself already a mystery school but you didn't know it? It starts with the mysteries. So whether you say the universe came from somewhere but we never understand where it came from, just imagine that there's empty space, suddenly something comes into the empty space. Where did it come from? How can it be? How was it at the other side? How could it be that outside of the space that doesn't exist there is something that does exist, because now there's something that does exist in the space where it didn't exist. There's something faulty in that line of reasoning. But as long as you use that line of reasoning, you cannot get out of it. The trap is that you're sort of trying to hold yourself together, while in a way you need to fall apart. Actually, that's a story in itself. In falling apart, when you die, you actually do experience how it all hangs together. You do sort of get the sum total of all the things you've done and all the things you've seen and all the effects that you had on everything and everybody. So in a way you turn inside out and become yourself worst opposite, or your best self, which actually is the same. And it is that kind of complementarity that the mystery schools try to deal with. It is based on realization that as long as there is a mystery, it is evident that you don't know it all. But if we don't know it all, then how relevant is that what we do know? Or how fragile is that what we do know? More specifically, if we implicitly already know that the knowledge what we have is incomplete and then unreliable, what use is the knowledge? Religions have tried to, in a way, create a safety net for that. We have to be very careful with this, especially if we talk about mystery schools, because we need to combine the words mystery school, religion, church and cult. And they together, these four, are saying a whole spectrum of different ways of addressing the unknown, but the difference lies in how people determine each other or let each other be free. The mystery school aims to set people free so that they can discover things for themselves. The religions try to provide a collective common framework which doesn't work but might somehow help. And the churches are more into regimenting rituals, dogma, protocols of how people should behave. And the cults are actually locking that into a specific lifestyle with punishment if you don't comply with what somebody else thinks. And they all have a belief that they are very correct in what they believe, but that is a story in itself. That lies in the nature of belief. And I'll just shortly summarize it. You have freedom of choice, you can make a decision, out of that comes a conviction, and then you will act on that, reflex action. And the conviction that you entertain and maintain will determine your reflexes. But if in a cult you do not allow the questioning of the decisions, which is typical in a cult and also in the church, then you cannot see how important decision taking is and how important it is to be able to retake decisions. And that's where religions are, specifically the mystery schools, are much more important because they show you that it's not about the decisions that you take, but the capacity to undo and redo decisions, and actually it's about the freedom of choice and the sequence of consequences in the choices that you make and the actions that you have. So I just need to put this in perspective, that mystery schools, religions, churches and cults are in a way a same kind of security blanket or safety net for people who realize that there's something very amiss in the reality that we live in, but can't really focus on what the problem is, for the simple reason that, as usual, if you can't see the basis of the problem, you're probably standing on it. It's probably your standpoint. It's probably right under the soles of your feet where you cannot look. It's in your blind spot. It's in the umbilic. It's in the blind spot is in the eye, where the information of the eye goes into the brain, and at that point there is no information processing capacity because it's an information transfer that is there capacitated, which is put on, activated. So the mystery and the blind spot is quite the same principle. I need to elaborate a bit on the trickiness of the mystery and the blind spot, because of the complexity and the confusion that can come out of that. So you know that there's something that you don't know, call it the dogma, call it the axiom, call it the assumption. Those are the counterparts of the anomaly, the taboo and the singularity. There is something where you know that you try to get at the basis of it, but you can't. For example, if you try to understand your body, then you can say, okay, this is the body anatomy, great, I can point at that, I can touch it, I can measure it, I can weigh it. Oh, it's really wonderful, it's scientific. But then when you look into it, you say, it's a physiology. I say, well, I can measure some of that. I can measure things going in and out, but I can't really measure what's going on because I see all kinds of things changing and I can't really get in there. I can try to understand, but it's not as simple as I thought. And then you go from the physiology into what's happening in the cells. You say, well, actually, this is really tricky because these cells are working with nuclear atomic physics. They're using information fields which I didn't even know that existed. And yet, nevertheless, they are able to do something which in the physics laboratory we can't even get a handle on. They're able to work with molecules with the least effort. They somehow vibrate them in such a way that they can reorganize them. It doesn't seem to cost any effort. We really have to rethink everything that we know about physics, specifically about our body. So all of these cells are actually using electromagnetic forces, so it's not a physical body at all. So we're sort of getting lost in protons and electron clouds on that. But then go to the deepest level and you realize that these cells are working with information which you don't even fathom. That you realize that the thoughts that you have, or the thoughts about the thoughts that you have, or the thoughts that you have about the thoughts of others might have, these are just little eddy currents in a software computer which is completely disoriented, not calibrated, not connected to the universe at all, not grounded, doesn't have its antenna up, isn't tuned into the proper radio station. So what are you dealing with? And that's where the mystery schools come in. They say, well, okay, we understand the problem. Actually, there's no great solution to the problem, but there is a solution in realizing that it is no accident that we have a body as we do and that it can do the things that it can do. So rather than focusing on this question which we cannot answer, the mystery, let's look at the things that we can work with and we can understand. Most specifically, that there are things that we can see around us would help us understand things going on within us, as a result of which we can better understand how we do things between us, by which we can then see how you in fact connect to all of it. So in that sense, the mystery school turns the picture around. The cult says, God tells you what to do, what not to do, and I'll just repeat it, and if you misbehave, I'll just punish you for it. The church says, there is a God, and there are rules, and there will be punishment, and it will all be taken care of. And you decide if you do the one way or the other way, but you will end up in heaven or in hell. And then the religion says, there are universal principles. They operate everywhere. It connects everything. So you're all connected to everybody and everything. But basically, you need to find that out for yourself. And we can't really teach that to you because you're godly already. You need to realize that you can only live that yourself. And the mystery schools then simplify that and say, well, you just need to do it. You can only discover it by doing it. You learned to walk by walking, you learned to piss and shit by doing it and seeing that it went wrong. You stepped on the bicycle, fell off, stepped on again. At some point you know how to ride the bicycle. You tried relationship and it went wrong until it went really well. So let's just assume that you learn by doing it. And now let's assume that in this case the lesson is that you're a God being. So go for it. And then the mystery schools become really fun because they all in their own way provide techniques, and most of them are actually distraction techniques. Many of the techniques of the mystery schools in a way keep your mind or your body busy with something so that you suddenly discover that something else is going on the background. Let me give you a simple example of something like that. It doesn't come from the mystery school, but it sort of illustrates the principle. It is the connection that we have in our body, because between our breathing, our heartbeat, our digestive system, and our cellular activity. You all know from experience that you don't much regulate your heartbeat. It's a mystery. It just keeps on beating. Accept the mystery, the heart beats, accept it. The same for the breathing. It's a mystery, but it keeps on breathing. Accept it, play with it. The same with the gurgling of the gut. It just goes on and on and on. It's a mystery, but accept it. It is there. And of course, most importantly, there is a cell. It is different from the rock. It lives, it can do all kinds of stuff. It can form the whole body. You can think in the body. You can do marvelous things with the body. You can marvelous things to the body. You can actually do mischievous things and wrong things with and by it, a whole lot. It's a mystery, but it's all already contained within the cell. And now, once you look at these, there's a puzzle that keeps on lingering, but now simply start focusing on your breathing. And why I talk it, maybe just play along, you get the mystery school initiation straight away. When you breathe, you can breathe in and out while I talk. And while you focus on your breath going in and out, you can choose to actually increase the rhythm of your breathing or decrease it. Whatever you choose. Take one, mystery school, everything is possible. Take the one, some other time you'll take the other one, you'll discover both of them. So take one, and then you discover that it's not only that you can not stop breathing. I once did a breathing course and I started with, okay, stop breathing, and it turned out that people couldn't. So you don't have any difficulty about breathing, it will breathe itself. So stopping it doesn't work, accelerating it beyond the point doesn't work, but you can try to accelerate or decelerate to a point where you can still work with it. And then you discover that there is a relationship between your breathing and your heartbeat. It's built in, it's a mystery, it's already there. So when you increase your breathing rhythm, or if you decrease your breathing rhythm, you'll discover that there is a ratio between the breathing rhythm and the heartbeat rhythm which is connected. So you increase your breathing, you increase your heartbeat. But if you increase your heartbeat, you increase your blood flow. But you increase your blood flow and you increase your cell nutrition, also oxygenation. So at the moment that you're apathic, you suddenly discover that you can, from the apathic mindset, by activating the breathing in the body, you can suddenly activate the heart pump, activate the blood flow, activate the cell nutrition. You can change your state of consciousness and awareness and alertness and aliveness in your body. So the mystery school training is about realizing that there are all these processes in your body which, without your knowing, are doing all these things for you all the time. And some texts call it the faithful servant, or the genie in the bottle, or the spirit that serves you. And if you mistreat it, the spirit will turn you against you. The spirit that serves you would be called the angel. The spirit that goes against you would be called the devil. But essentially, there are these things that are taking place already, which you never notice. They're in the blind spot because they're always there. That's like the grandfather clock that you don't hear ticking anymore because it always ticks in the same rhythm. Your mind sort of suppresses it until the clock stops, and then your mind suppresses, it goes on, you suddenly notice the clock stopped. So in that same way, you have all these processes in the body which mysteriously keep on going on. And once you start playing around with them, you discover that there's something fascinating in them, that with the heart rhythm, you can actually change what happens in your blood, your animal organ system, what happens in your vegetative blood circulation, lymph circulation, whole lot, and what happens at the cellular level. So these things which seem to be beyond your reach in the cellular level turn out to be within your reach from the breathing level. And the mystery schools look for those kind of connections. And a lot of these mystery school trainings have become, say, mainstream and disguised and misguided a whole lot. So for example, a lot of the old knowledge of how to connect yourself and the environment is called yoga. The word religion, from religare, to reconnect you to the universe, and yoga, to connect you to the universe, basically to help you see that you already are universal, has a whole series of techniques of showing you how you can rediscover this connectedness in the things that you're so used to that you no longer question them. For example, Gurdjieff simply asked people to put the knife and the fork on the other side of the plate. And then when the guests came in, they suddenly discovered how they were conditioned to use the knife in the one hand and the fork in the other hand, and they couldn't work with it the other way around because they had not learned to switch their right and left side programming. But after a while they discovered that they could do that. So they realized that they could actually switch, they could do parallelism between the one side and the other side. So they discovered a deeper capacity of their body. And that's what the mystery schools are about, to discover the inbuilt hidden secrets of the body, which is also the mind, which is also the soul, which is also the spirit. Let me shift the perspective. I definitely want to keep this story at a glossary level. I want to give an impression or an illusion or an imagination of mystery schools and mystery schooling, for the simple reason that the mystery schools often seek protection against, let's say, the cults, and mystery schools also seek protection against people who are not looking for God awareness, but they're looking at for a dictator capacity. So some filtering is needed. You don't want to teach the children to play with fire or with knives before they actually learn that there are responsibilities and consequences to things. So you will find the mystery schools when you look for them, and in many cases you'll find that they were actually right around the corner, but you hadn't been able to connect them yet. You couldn't recognize them yet. On the other hand, once you've been to a mystery school, you will recognize people who are operating at that level, even though they are just normal people around you. You sense the difference, you feel the difference, you notice or know the difference. And these are not in the outspoken things. These are in what the consciousness field is actually doing. So I just want to keep it at the conceptual level for this story. To show that yes, there is a mystery, and yes, there is a mystery school, and yes, the mystery schools have techniques which are all based on things which are built into nature and in the body and reality already. But what they teach is that you can relate to these things differently, and more importantly, that you can relate to yourself differently. that are a lot of assumptions or a lot of reflexes or a lot of rituals or habits that you might have worked with, such as the fork and the knife, which you have on the one hand, the other hand all the time. But once you start playing around with that, you start to discover that you actually have a far larger learning capacity, a much wider understanding capacity, which you can turn on, but you can only turn it on once you start to, as they say, look for the mystery. Once you realize that there is more, that there are things hidden on the carpet, that there are potentials which are not all that evident, but at some point you learn to work with it, and from then on they're part of your life, because they're part of your sensitivity, your consciousness, your intelligence, your awareness. It is another part of your consciousness that has been turned into action. And again, the foundation of the mystery schools is that you are God is the core of the whole story. It is just that the word God is not the one used by the cults or by the churches or by the religions, and specifically not by the mystery schools, but they are aware that that God, word God, is not the word God that they refer to. So you need to know that what you can see and what you describe is something else than what you can experience. It's a difference between what's outside and what's inside. And the mystery school tries to bring it back to where you can get to it, and specifically where you can get to know the other parts of you, which you might have turned off, or others might have helped you turn off, and you agreed with them, and that you can and sometimes need to turn them back on again. And so some of the trainings of the mystery schools are very simplistic, as I used with my breathing course, which I gave one time, long time ago, and said, okay, we are now in this evening for breathing techniques, and now just stop breathing. And a lot of people got into a full panic, and it took a while before they realized that there was no foundation for the panic, because their body just took over, and that it was the first time for them that they experienced the kind of asphyxiation, suffocation sensation. But they also realized that their body was in fact protecting them against that. So they actually learned that the problem actually was a solution. And there are many examples of that. So there, for example, the story of baptism. It's an old technique. You take somebody to the river, you grab them by the back of the neck. You must be telepathically linked to them, so you must be highly conscious and very aware. And then you dip them in the water, and you hold them under water until they start to suffocate and start when they start to drown. And then, at the moment that they realize that they are dying, there comes the moment of surrender, which in Arabic they call Islam. And at that moment of surrender, they let go, and you pull them back up, because they have reached the moment where they realized that they don't have to control these things. You don't want to have a life without control, and you don't want to do baptizing without really being telepathically in tune and really knowing what's going on, because it is it is a fraction of a second in which it works. If you're too early or too late, the whole process doesn't do it. It is a precision procedure. And for that reason, there are other and better techniques. Drugs sort of mimic that, but they don't do it, because they have drawback and consequence of other sides. So mystery schools can use drugs to shift consciousness or shift awareness, or help you realize that what you think normally is only one way of thinking, and that's actually the 60s in America, when the LSD was freely available, people started to realize that what they were thinking was just one fraction of what they could be thinking. And Timothy Leary was one of the people who helped people understand that conditioned thinking is one way of thinking, but there are so many other ways of thinking. And evidently, when you're dealing with ways of thinking and other ways of thinking, you have thought manipulation coming into play, mind control coming into play, and so suddenly you come into this whole arena where all kind of religions and churches and cults and other people are trying to tell each other what to do. But the opposite is that you can conceive for yourself what you can do. That's also the reason why I want to keep this story about mystery school superficial, because you need to stay clear of this conflict between control and self-control. Control is something that you can do with object but not with living beings, and self-control is something which you cannot do with objects and you can only do with your own being. But it is a totally different mindset, and a lot of people in a way need to grow up from baby to child to adolescent to adult, and at some point need to realize that what they think actually matters, but that it also very much matters that somebody else is free to think what they think. And that groupthink doesn't come by conditioning the thoughts and beliefs of others, but that a group process originates because people share the same values and they're willing to support and help each other. And that is one of the aspects which you find in the mystery schools. They're very careful in who they let in. And there are some beautiful descriptions about people going on the quest, going for the mystery schools, and having to run around for years before they find that it's actually right around the corner from where they lived, or that they have to go from one to the other, from the other to the other, because their mindset just didn't allow them to be receptive. They were looking so much that they couldn't find, which is what the story of Buddha is about, that he was searching so much that he was not able to find it. And when he gave up searching, the Islam, the surrender, letting go bit, then suddenly everything that he was looking for could fall in place. He was just boiling the kettle too much so that the waves on the surface couldn't settle and he couldn't look in, which is where the meditation comes into the story. So the mystery schools realize that people need to be ready for it. So there are pathways to find them and to get to them, and some are more open to others, others are less, some are more strict because they're in fact cults, not mystery schools. Some are very transparent. But you actually need to do all of the work yourself. And it is in realizing that they all exist in all these different forms that you can also realize that somebody initiated it because somebody realized it within themselves. And then you come to understand that the mystery school is actually you. But if you're the mystery school, then why should you seek a mystery school? In fact, if you realize that you're the mystery school, you've already joined the mystery school, you already are a mystery school, all that you have to do is practice the practices, you'll discover yourself, you'll find things out from in yourself, and the more things you find out from within yourself, and the more you accept the mystery and the more you look for what your body is already showing you and already telling you, and the more you will come to be immersed in your body and immersed in your feelings and sensations and profound in your appreciation, and that in a way will emanate around you, and you will become, say, the beacon of your mystery school. The people around you will notice that when they get close to you, they already feel better. When you walk up to them, they already see the problem solved. Or when you touch them, the pain that they had seemed to be totally forgotten. It is all about the realization that if people have a pain in their body, it is basically just something in their body is in a spasm. There is an electric earthquake rift within their body where tension cannot be released because there is a memory blocking it in place. But at the moment that somebody comes by who doesn't hold that belief that that's relevant, the body suddenly realizes, well, why am I doing it? And it just lets go of it because it realizes that it was hanging on to a memory which doesn't compute. And there are so many levels in which this mystery school experience goes into your body, into the mind, into the soul, into the spirit, into your own experience, into your experience with animals and plants, and experience of nature around you, experience with the people around you. But it all starts with the acceptance of the mystery school and the realization that you actually are divine. So let me finalize the story, because there's a purpose to it all. And the purpose is quite simple, is that you discover you, or rather that you can be you. More importantly, that you discover that you are in fact a human having a life experience on Earth just like everybody else. So how much are you different from any other being on the planet, human, animal, otherwise? And so the more you have the realization that you are universal, the more you can recognize yourself in others and others in you. And then the mystery is also about realizing that differences are aspects of sameness, and oppositions are examples of complementarity. In other words, as it's often said, the closer you go to the light, the stronger you will cast your shadow. And part of that mystery training in general is that when people are confronted with, say, black shadows or unknowns or strong conflicts, that in a way they are zoomed in on a very small part of the picture, and they can zoom out to see the larger part of the picture, and they can see that in the universe change is inevitable, it's essential, it's necessary, so that when a tsunami comes by, it is to be expected. When the earthquake comes by, it is to be expected, so don't be shaken when the vase falls off the table. You just hadn't taken into account that the earthquake was coming right now. But how come that the animals already knew that the earthquake was coming and moved to a different space? And how come that you did not? Because you were distracted and your animal nature was not turned on. So once your animal nature is turned on, you have, by accident or by something, you've put the vase somewhere, and then a bit later you discover that an earthquake has come by, and you suddenly understand, the other part of me already understood and already took care of that. And so the fun part of the mystery experience is that you start to connect up to the other layers of you. As I said earlier, in the meditation exercises of the different levels of your own being, it is by the meditation that you know that those levels of being are there, and they all have their role and they all have their importance and they all complement each other. And I then mentioned that the mystery schools are the places where this is put in place, that you can practice that. As I just said, in a way, you are your mystery school, so you can just practice that. And it's a bit of a vicious reasoning. You need to go to mystery school to learn a meditation, or you need to have the meditation to have the mystical experience. No, you just start to discover what your body is doing, feel well, and the diagnosis will be the therapy. I started with the notion that there are things that we do not know, the mystery. I then explained that this is unavoidable, because we are part of a much larger whole, and we are only an aspect of the much larger whole. I explained that in our body we can see that the thoughts that we have about our body are most often wrong, because our body is not the body, but it's the physiology. The physiology is actually the cell communication, which is nuclear energy reactions at the deepest level. But ultimately, it's based on the information field, which is much deeper than the existence of our body as a whole, so we cannot even touch it, even though we're part of it, like a drop of water in the ocean. So the mystery is unavoidable, and the mystery is also imperceptible. And the imperceptibility is because of this principle of the blind spot. If you're using it, you do not see how you're using it. And that's also why the mystery training then turns that around. Well, the simple solution is that everything that you're using now, you can use with attention. So first realize that it is there, see how it works, see if you can work with that, and then discover what you can do with it and what you specifically should not do with it. Living is deadly, so life is your own risk. But you will then discover that by zooming into the blind spot, you start to understand what it is, why it is there, and also what's hidden behind it. So the whole purpose of the mystery school is that you then can see through things and discover that your own uniqueness originates because you have this body, which you got from your parents, which you got from their parents, and so on. So you have 5 billion years of life experience on Earth, which you have within your body. But as your body is your temple, why not look in the foundation and see what it has? Why accept what others tell you? Well, within you, there's this immense storehouse information. Why not combine the two and listen to what people have to tell you and listen to what your body has to tell you? And then you'll discover that once you look deeper into you, you actually find that there are other people who do that too. Or that when you are with others, in a way, they can suddenly reach into themselves deeper than they knew how to do before. So there is this kind of contagious health, in which the deeper you become self-conscious and self-aware, and in a way self-creative, self-divine, the more you see that and how and if others are that too. And you also discover that people meet up because they share this in a kind of contagious health. But there are also people who are not at all into this. They rather prefer to be in some other state of being. They're too preoccupied with something to let go of that yet. Which, of course, for you is then a reminder, well, are there other things that I'm not letting go of as yet? With them, I can see that they're still stuck in something. I can only appreciate and respect that, because apparently they seek that, because they don't seek or accept or desire an alternative. But what is it in me that's doing the same? And sometimes you then discover, and the Hawaiian kahuna ho'oponopono is part of that. You meet somebody and you realize that they are really stuck in themselves. Well, if I were stuck within myself, how would that be? And why would I be stuck like that within myself? And then, in a way, you copy what the other is doing, and then within yourself, you start to understand what they're experiencing. And that's already important, because most often they don't understand themselves, others don't understand them, so the respect for where they are is already lost. But once you're there too, you fully understand it, which gives that respect of knowing where they are. And sometimes, and that's what Ho'oponopono is about as well, by them realizing that you are that too, something in them which got them stuck in that is no longer necessary, because they were just trying to remind themselves of, don't forget this for a moment. But the for a moment becomes eternity, because they didn't know how to switch it off again. And then suddenly they see it mirror, they see what they are doing, and they can let go of it. Now, there are so many marvelous, magical, mystical discoveries that you run into in this approach. There are all kind of different mystery schools. You can look them up, you can pass them by, but the most fun exists in realizing that you're your own mystery school, and doing your own program. And the most important program is that you stop programming your program, but you actually start to learn from your body, so that you discover that the body is the mystery. And as many of the Sufis tell, it's like a coy or shy woman, and she will tell you only when she will tell you. You cannot coax her, you cannot force her. So the mystery school within you, you cannot say, well, this is where I'm going to go to the mystery school, now I'm going to work it. No, it's the attention, the notion of I'm ready for exploring the mystery, and now please teach me. But to be alert to the teachable moment, and to be aware for those moments where you suddenly realize, oh, this was a goof. Okay, so I must have missed it. As the Buddhists say, when the question comes up, the question mark is the shadow of the exclamation mark with the solution that just passed you by. So in that sense, the mystery training within, it's very subtle. It really, you have to be very careful with it, extremely cautious, very patient, but also very persistent, very alert, very open, and non-demanding. As the saying goes, love is unconditional, so you cannot put conditions on it. And once you then go into this discovery, there are many people who suddenly will connect up to the different parts of the experiments or the explorations that you're doing. And as a result, you will discover mystery schools. And to your surprise, you might suddenly see that they accept you as one of them, even though you've never been them. For the simple reason that they know that you've been doing the internal work. In magic, it is actually called the internal work. Magic and mystery is quite the same. Magic is, say, the selfish version of it. Mystery is the unselfish version of it. White magic is the work for the universe. Black magic is the work for the individual by itself only. So there are all these discoveries that fall in place, but the core of it all is essentially that you are universal. Through your ancestry, you're connected to all of humanity. All of humanity is connected to all of the life form. All of the life form is just an aspect of Earth. Earth is just one part of the universe, and you are that already, if only but you look. So the fun of the mystery experience or training or discovery or realization is that the answer is there already, but you might need to look in a different way. Most often that you need to realize that, let's say God is universal, and let's use the word God. People have been conditioned to anchor onto that. There is a consciousness which is universal. As it is universal, it's everywhere. As it is everywhere, it's also in you. As it is in you, you can get in touch with it. As you can get in touch with it, you can get to know it. And as you get to know it, you can express it. And as you can express it, you can become it, you can be it. And that's what the mystery training is about.